But then I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong, and I grew strong, and I learned how to get along.
All right, folks, well, we're going to survive, but I tell you right now, it was a very, very close race with Roy Moore and Doug Jones. And if you want to know how close that it was, and Jones did win, of course, and today is the 13th day of December, 100% of the precincts are in. 670,000 against 649,000. And what were the write-ins? 22,000. That means if the write-ins were tallied for Roy Moore, forget about all of the crazy attacks from the Republicans and his own would-be partner, Richard Shelby. If you threw all those write-ins in, Roy Moore would have won. So it's, what can I say? More of the same. The smear campaign won the Senate for the Dems in Alabama by just a few votes, and we will never know the truth of what happened because there was no investigation. There was no courtroom or any other kind of investigation that looked to look into this, but we will always know that the game was rigged. As the Democrats always do, it's a last-minute gotcha. So now it is doubly important we retake the Michigan seat from the Dems that was stolen by the Minnesota seat from the Dems that was stolen by the crazy Al Franken recount that lasted 6 months and kicked Norm Coleman out. In a recount, they only found Democrat ballots. And it went on and on until Franken was in there. Now he's out, but he has not quit yet. And some people are telling him not to quit. So what about recounting this race, you ask? Well, we can't because the court ruled the ballots must be destroyed immediately afterwards. They're just electronic ballots, and I'll give you more about that in a minute. So what is the impact of this defeat, my friends? Several. First, all legislative activity becomes harder. This is because there is one less vote to reach 50, and it is proof again that Jeff Sessions should have been left a senator since he, after becoming the attorney general, sabotaged Trump with the Russia recusal, and we're still dying from that. Further, this lights a fire under the seat of Dems, who now believe the entire country is in play. Further, it makes the GOP the party of pervs, since Trump and company supported more. But at least, my friends, in the loss, it will seem like the Republicans broadly reject pervs. Yet overall, it makes things that much harder. Good morning. Thank you for tuning in. I'm getting people that are contacting me about the show. I'm just trying to get the show back on its feet, but people want to know if they can call in. For now, you can't call in because it's a recorded the night before show, but I'll start doing a daily show on the time that it's broadcast, make it a live show, and it'll be more interesting. But I just wanted to get my feet back under me. It's funny, just a few months away from the last show, you feel like you have to learn how to ride a bike again. It's kind of sad. So the overall vote for Doug Jones, 671,151 votes, 49.9%. Roy Moore, 650,436, 48.8%, 48.4%. And so you see how close it was. And it was very exciting and kind of sad at the same time. Now, I want to first get into this story of what happened. This is from the Tuesday, 12th of December. I'm turning on my heater. I hope you can't hear this too loud. But I'm getting into this Guardian story. Alabama court gives last-minute order that could impede recount procedure. Voting rights experts denounce ruling that gives election officials permission not to preserve electronic ballot records as a blow to transparency. And in a court in Montgomery, the state capital, they issued an injunction on Monday afternoon ordering election officials around the state to preserve digital images of the ballots cast by Alabama voters in the battle between Roy Moore and Democrat Doug Jones. But the Supreme Court stayed the injunction almost immediately following a protest that was lodged by Alabama's chief election official, the Secretary of State John Merrill. And voting rights experts denounced the ruling as a blow to transparency in a state that already has a flawed vote recount procedure and a somewhat checkered history of questionable election outcomes that the state's senior officials and courts have allowed to go unchallenged. And as Christopher Sauter, a veteran Washington election lawyer, said, there's no legitimate reason not to preserve ballot images. You know what? Think about that. It's just an image. It's like a picture in your phone, but you say, or your opponent says, whatever, that you've got to erase that picture. Why? Why in the devil? What in the heck? There's no, just no sense there. Now, the Priscilla Duncan, the lead plaintiff in the case, was amazed that the Secretary of State's protest was lodged with the Supreme Court at 4:38 and the justices came back at 5:18 with their ruling. She says it's just unbelievable that they examined the pleadings and got eight judges to concur in half an hour on a Monday afternoon. We have reason to believe those machines can be compromised, whether intentionally or through error. There can be some false results, and there have been some tests around the country where there have been some rather sizable discrepancies. So anyway, that's why you can't go in and challenge that. And I think it's kind of sad. I mean, I understand why they don't want endless recounts, but why before this election? Why can't it, you know, why not wait for the next election? So anyway, kind of a depressing result. I don't know what else to tell you, friends. All right, well, I've got a lot more to give you today, so I'm going to just dig in. Roy Moore is lost, and now I've got a little bit on the Mueller probe. They're calling, in the first place, for an investigation for a probe of special counsel Robert Mueller because his group is so, it's so weird. It is so, I don't know what else you would call it, but it's just completely riddled with leftists. Check this out.
All of it. Tennessee Representative Marshall. Good to see you, Representative. You I want to start with Mr. Mueller. Do you think he needs to be investigated? Do you think he is not as unbiased in this investigation as he purports to be?
I think there are so many questions around this, especially after the hearing that took place on the Hill yesterday with Christopher Wray and his answers to members of the Judiciary Committee who held that hearing, looking at what had transpired with the FBI investigation. And I think more questions were raised about Russia, about the dossier, about the knowledge the FBI did or did not have. And I think you're going to see more more looking into that. And of course, that leads to Mueller and the situation that is there. What is legitimate? What is not? Did the DNC pay Fusion GPS for this? Who paid Steele, who then got this report from the Russians? Was that used to receive the FISA warrant? Just a lot of questions going there. So, you
well,
know,
that's Trish, certainly what's been circulated, right? I mean, Representative, yeah. They've talked about, okay, Fusion GPS, yeah. Which is basically this political hit job operation where they'll go and dig up anything they can on you. They may have been fed information by the Russians. Christopher Steele, the ex-British spy that was working for Fusion GPS, got a bunch of bad intel from the Russians. And then somehow our government is treating this document seriously enough, even though if you read the thing, it sounds like it's straight out of the National Enquirer, as a piece of opposition research.
Well, and that's right. And then what my constituents are saying to me here in Tennessee is, how can the government use an agency of the government for a political operation? How could this possibly have happened? And I tell you why that is such a something that people are latching on to. Mm-hmm. They know what happened with the IRS targeting the Tea Party and conservative organizations. And they're beginning to go, wait a minute, this is not what we're supposed to be doing with the federal government. And they are asking us, please get to the bottom of this. It doesn't matter if it's the EPA or the IRS or the FBI. This is not the way things are to happen, because we are to be a nation of laws. We're to abide by the rule of law.
Yeah, and we can't be struggling with some kind of suppressive government that is running amok and doing things it shouldn't
right.
do. You know, Greg Jarrett, a colleague of ours and frequent guest on this show, he was making the point that he didn't like the idea of what the FBI even was doing in terms of going after Paul Manafort in the middle.
All right, so let me just explain what's going on here. The people that are involved in the probe, Mueller's probe, have turned out to be almost all, I mean, everybody who gave any money to the any political parties or candidates was a Democrat. Number one, that should trouble you. Number two, there were lawyers for people like Hillary Clinton, or the guy that built the server for Hillary, his lawyers on the team. There's also lawyers that defended the Clinton Foundation. So how could these people possibly be unbiased? Now, here's a little bit of... This is a Department of Justice official demoted after contact with Fusion GPS. This is where the story gets even harder to follow. There's a guy by the name of Orr, O-H-R. He's an Asian guy. And he was the head of the FBI's drug and basically organized crime group. He's the number four guy in the FBI. At the same time, he's also on the Mueller team, and he went to Fusion GPS headquarters to talk to them about this crazy dossier that they came up with. So when he went over there, whoever he talked to, obviously he talked about the dossier, because then the FBI did then have the dossier. And guess what? His wife also works for GPS, Fusion GPS. It is one of the craziest stories that I have ever seen. And here's a little bit of it right now for you from Fox. And all of these stories tend to be from yesterday or maybe the day before. And most of them are on Fox. They're the only ones that I can find that have anything on it.
Tonight, a pair of Fox News exclusives as we continue our coverage of the Russia collusion investigation, the Trump dossier, and the opposition research firm behind that. Chief Washington correspondent James Rosen has new information tonight on ties between the Justice Department and the people behind the Trump dossier, a connection that's really raising more questions tonight. Good evening, James.
Brett, good evening. New disclosures confirmed to Fox News by top investigators on the House Intelligence Committee show that the link between Fusion GPS, the firm behind that anti-Trump dossier, and a top Justice Department official ran deeper than previously known. Fox News was the first to tell you last week about the abrupt demotion on Wednesday of Bruce Orr, the Associate Deputy Attorney General, who was stripped of that title and his fourth floor office at Maine Justice amid an ongoing investigation into his contacts with the two leading figures in the controversy over the dossier, meetings that DOJ officials told Fox News Orr had withheld from his superiors. House Intelligence Committee staff uncovered that Orr met last year with both Christopher Steele, the former British spy who authored the dossier with input from Russian sources, and that Orr also met last year with Glenn Simpson, the founder of Fusion GPS, the opposition research firm that paid Mr. Steele with funding from the Hillary Clinton campaign and the Democratic National Committee. Now Fox News has confirmed that Nellie Orr, an academic Russia expert and the wife of Bruce Orr, worked for Fusion GPS last year. Indeed was paid by the opposition research firm through the summer and fall of 2016, a timeline that places her on the company payroll around the time the dossier was funneled to the FBI, and perhaps up through the election, some 2 weeks after which her husband met secretly with Glenn Simpson. The House Intelligence Committee Chairman Nunes told Fox News in a statement today is looking into all facets of the connections between the Department of Justice and Fusion GPS, including Mr. Orr, unquote. DOJ, which initially claimed that Bruce Orr had been stripped of his top-line duties because he was holding down two jobs at DOJ, and that was, quote, unusual, today had no comment about the revelation that Mrs. Orr worked for Fusion GPS last year. Brett.
James, quickly, and I know we don't have these answers as this investigation continues, but how is it that the top of this investigation, the people in the Department of Justice, could not have known that there was any of these ties for so long?
Yeah, that's what they've told us, and if that's the case, it wouldn't speak well for them. But it almost defies belief that Bruce Orr, as he was meeting with the principals behind Fusion GPS, wasn't creating some kind of paper trail to alert folks to what he was up to. But we expect to learn more about all of this as the weeks unfold.
And we will follow it. James, thank you. Fusion GPS. Tonight, Chief Intelligence Correspondent Catherine Herridge talks with a former senior British diplomat who says he was right in the middle of all of it.
My mission was essentially...
All right, so we don't really need to hear that, but it's really turned out to be one of the most astounding things that you've ever seen. Just incredible. Now, here is... trying to see which one would be the most beneficial for you. Let's see this one right here. All right. Here's a little bit more on the dossier itself, which is a rare, kind of mysterious document full of lies. And it was created by Hillary hiring and the FBI hiring Fusion GPS. Somehow this becomes the foundation for filing this FISA warrant. And once again, this is Fox. If I can get this puppy to play, I may have to find it again on, let's see here. Some of these are a little bit hard to play here, so let's see if I can find it on YouTube, the same story. But in the meantime, although I do think we need to hear this, DOJ official demoted after contacts of Fusion GPS, the same story.
Meanwhile, Fox News is saying that a top Justice Department official has been demoted. This seems to follow a familiar drill here, a probe of contacts with the founder of Fusion GPS, the firm behind that Trump dossier, to ACLJ Executive Director Jordan Sekulow. Jordan, what do you make of this?
Neil, I think this again goes to that point. We do not know enough about what the FBI and the Department of Justice were doing with Fusion GPS. But now if they're starting to demote people, and you have to wonder, you know, the House, the Senate, they all want to know, and I think all the American people want to know how much money, if any money, was exchanged. We know there was a contract that was put in place. We don't know if it was ever executed between the FBI, which is overseen by the DOJ, and Fusion GPS to continue work on this so-called dossier. And now we have an official that is being demoted. We've had two officials from the special counsel's teams be demoted, one for sending 10,000 plus texts, some that included anti-Trump text, and that was a top FBI official. He's demoted. Another official there who he was having an affair with, also demoted from the special counsel's team. So it seems like, again, while you've got, I know Director Wray was testifying today, but next week, the acting attorney general for this Russian matter, Rod Rosenstein, has got to testify before Congress, and I expect a lot of questions on this, Neil.
Yeah, Rosenstein.
All right, so let me get you over here to what the dossier was like and following the trail of it, which I did find on YouTube. Now let's play this a little bit. Following the trail of the unverified Trump dossier. And here we go.
That shadowy back-channel handoff to Republican Senator John McCain of the unverified dossier prepared by former British MI6 spy Christopher Steele, who was, as you remember, working for Glenn Simpson's firm, Fusion GPS. Tonight, Chief Intelligence Correspondent Catherine Herridge talks with a former senior British diplomat who says he was right in the middle of all of it.
My mission was essentially to be a go-between and a messenger to tell the senator that such a dossier existed.
Fox News spoke to Sir Andrew Wood at the Halifax International Security Forum in Canada. As Britain's ambassador to Moscow from 1995 to 2000, Wood witnessed the end of Russian President Boris Yeltsin and the rise of Vladimir Putin. Just after the election in November 2016, Senator John McCain spoke at the same security conference. Wood says he was instructed by former British spy Christopher Steele to reach out to the senior Republican about the unverified Trump dossier.
Senator John McCain, a fine man.
Wood insists he never read the dossier that his good friend and longtime colleague prepared. It was commissioned by opposition research firm Fusion GPS and funded by the DNC and Clinton campaign.
August, he came to me to tell me what was in it and why it was important. He made it very clear that this was raw intelligence, but it needed putting in a proper context before you could judge it fully.
I find it amazing this guy calls McCain a fine man. This guy must have been in on it too. And McCain would do anything he could to cook Trump's goose.
July and August are critical months in the Clinton email and Russia investigations. In July, then-FBI Director James Comey recommended against prosecution for Clinton's mishandling of classified information.
We are expressing to justice our view that no charges are appropriate in this case.
And the same month, the FBI opened the Russia probe. In August, Wood says Steele briefed him on the dossier.
He'd already been in contact with the FBI, and he said there was corroborating evidence in the United States, from which I assumed he was working with an American company.
British court records obtained by Fox News show Steele was directed by Fusion GPS founder Glenn Simpson to push the research to five American media outlets.
I've never heard of Mr. Simpson. I have heard of Fusion as the name of the people that, Chris was referring to when he referred to working with some people with a team in the United States.
3 weeks after Donald Trump won the presidential election at the Canadian Security Conference, the details were finalized for the dossier handoff to Senator McCain.
I think that
along with the senator, Sir Andrew Wood, and McCain Institute staffer David J. Kramer attended the Canadian conference. British court records state McCain told Kramer to get a personal briefing from Steele outside of London and then return to Washington, D.C. Fusion GPS would provide Senator McCain with hard copies. In January, Senator McCain gave the dossier to the FBI that already had its own copy from Steele. The senator's office had no comment and referred Fox to a previous statement that said he could not judge its accuracy. Kramer has not responded to multiple requests for comment.
A year after the election here on Capitol Hill, some lawmakers complain it's roadblock after roadblock. They even accuse the FBI and Justice Department of slow-walking documents about the dossier, even though President Trump's political appointees are running both departments.
Did the FBI pay for a dossier on the president?
Questions about the dossier are something that are better taken up in separate settings.
In Washington, Catherine Herridge, Fox News.
Where would this party be if it wasn't for GOP, so-called Republican, so-called conservatives who fight against the president? I mean, I think this is one of the craziest things that I've ever seen. Okay, so here's a little bit more on this bombshell and a little bit from your buddy Sean Hannity.
It gets deeper and deeper every day. We start with breaking news. Another glaring example of political bias at your Department of Justice. Our very own James Rosen, he joins us tonight with an exclusive report. James, gets bigger every minute.
Sean, good evening. When Fox News first queried the Justice Department about Associate Deputy Attorney General Bruce Orr, A top official just four doors down from Deputy AG Rod Rosenstein, we were told that Orr had been stripped of his title in his office a few hours before our inquiry. Later, DOJ told us that Orr had lost that job because he is also and remains director of DOJ's Organized Crime Drug Enforcement Task Force, and that his wearing of two hats was, quote, unusual. Finally, this afternoon, DOJ officials acknowledged the real reason for Orr's stunning demotion yesterday, namely that he withheld from superiors his meetings last year with two controversial figures. Investigators for the House Intelligence Committee have uncovered that Orr met with Christopher Steele, the former British spy who authored the infamous anti-Trump dossier with input from Russian sources. And he also met with Glenn Simpson, the founder of Fusion GPS, the opposition research firm that paid Steele with funding from the Clinton campaign and the Democratic National Committee. The dossier was given to the FBI in July 2016, around the same time that Donald Trump accepted the GOP nomination. Former FBI Director James Comey has described the dossier as a collection of salacious and unverified material about Mr. Trump and his associates.
I'm not sure when the FBI first took possession of it, but the media had it before you had it and we had it. At the time of your departure from the FBI, was the FBI able to confirm any criminal allegations contained in the Steele document?
Mr. Chairman, I don't think that's a question I can answer in an open setting because it goes into the details of the investigation.
Republican investigators from the House Intelligence Committee issued a fresh subpoena on DOJ today for information on Bruce Orr. They are looking to determine whether the Democratic-funded dossier was used to obtain FISA surveillance on a Trump campaign advisor named Carter Page. Sean.
Big question. James Rosen, thank you tonight from Washington. Now, this whole thing, I tell you, is a house of cards. It's beginning to crash down. I promise you there's a lot more information that has still not come out as of yet. TikTok to all our friends out there on Twitter, because we're only scratching the surface here. For example, Sarah Carter reporting tonight, House Intelligence Committee Chairman Devin Nunes will issue a subpoena to Bruce Orr for more information about his meetings regarding this anti-Trump dossier. And also tonight, House lawmakers grilling the FBI Director Christopher Wray on Capitol Hill about new information regarding the Trump-hating FBI agent Peter Strzok after Strzok was fired from Robert Mueller's investigation. Why? For bashing Trump in text messages to his FBI official girlfriend, also part of the team. Now, before we show you the video, remember, Strzok signed the document that started the entire Russian investigation. And Strzok's team was assigned to handle the dossier when it was first given to the FBI. And Strzok oversaw the interview of former National Security Advisor Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, and he played a key role in the Clinton email investigation. This guy never slept, including, by the way, attending Hillary's FBI interview that was not under oath. He was also there at the interviews of Clinton's top aides, Uma Abedin, Cheryl Mills, who we know lied, and Strzok is responsible for changing the key language in James Comey's statement that exonerated Hillary Clinton before the investigation from grossly negligent, which is the legal standard, to extremely careless. Now that you have all this information, take a look at this showdown. It's epic from today.
What we've learned about FBI agent Strzok is that this is the one FBI agent that is literally at the epicenter of virtually every major decision the FBI has been involved in, action and inaction, about candidate Trump, about President Trump, and about candidate Clinton. And if that one agent at the center or source is decidedly anti-Trump and decidedly pro-Clinton, that raises real questions.
I'm sure you're aware of the recent media reports indicating that Peter Strzok, who is a special agent at the FBI, changed the words grossly negligent to extremely careless in former Director Comey's statement closing the Clinton investigation.
Gross negligence is the language in the statute, I believe. But I believe also that almost anybody who grabbed a thesaurus would say that gross negligence and extremely careless are pretty darn close to each other.
You're right. They are synonyms. Extremely careless is a synonym for grossly negligent, which begs the question, why change it?
How did this guy get on your supposedly unbiased team in the first place?
If you watched today, you saw something that we have been telling you now for a long time, that other networks that say they're fair and balanced and objective and they consider themselves to be real journalists never talk about. Pretty amazing. Now, Peter Strzok, that's the Trump-hating, Clinton-loving FBI agent. He's tied to everything, including the fake news dossier. Watch very closely, an amazing moment, Congressman Jim Jordan connecting all of the dots, well, kind of like we've been doing on this show. Why? Because it's the truth. Something missing in today's world of so-called journalism, which I said was dead back in 08. Take a look.
Peter Strzok, the guy who ran the Clinton investigation, interviewed Mills, Abedin, interviewed Secretary Clinton, changed gross negligence, a crime, to the term extreme carelessness, who ran the Russian investigation, who interviewed Mike Flynn, gets put on Mueller's team, and then he gets kicked off for a text message that's anti-Trump. If he kicked everybody off Mueller's team who was anti-Trump, I don't think there'd be anybody left. So here there's got to be something more here. My hunch is it has something to do with the dossier. Director did Peter Strzok help produce and present the application to the FISA court to secure a warrant to spy on Americans associated with the Trump campaign?
Congressman, I'm not prepared to discuss anything about a FISA process in this setting.
And this is a guy that was appointed by Trump, and you see what happens when the political process is infiltrated by the kind of shenanigans that the Democrats pull. There's no substance, there's no foundation to the claim that the Russians infiltrated the U.S. election. That's already been pointed out a long time ago. There's no substance to the idea that Trump colluded with the Russians. But because they claimed that there was a collusion, now there's all this chaotic fight to try to implicate Trump, and now he can't even do the things that normal presidents do. All right, here is a little bit more on the idea that there's bias on this team. And this is from Laura Ingraham. And this is from yesterday. Check it out.
The special prosecutor's investigation so far has turned up no evidence of collusion between Trump and Russia. None. Zero. Zilch. Nada. But with every passing day, we learn more about the shocking anti-Trump bias of Bob Mueller's team. Peter Strzok, Jeannie Rhee, Andrew Weissman, the list keeps growing and growing. And just today, we learn that attorney Aaron Zebley, who's known as Mueller's right-hand man, previously represented the guy who helped set up Hillary's private email system. I can't even believe this. And who later destroyed two of her mobile devices with a hammer. I wish we could put that hammer in the Smithsonian. Wouldn't that be fun? The president's allies have had enough, and according to the Wall Street Journal, are now urging him to go on the offense against a probe that now seems like nothing but a partisan political lynch mob, if you ask me. Joining us now from Phoenix is Republican Congressman Andy Biggs of Arizona, and here in Washington, Democratic strategist Michelle Juando of the Center for American Progress. Michelle, I want to start with you because when you look at this list, I think we have a graphic of the contributions that some and his team have made. James Quarles has given $30,050 to Democrats. Jeannie Rhee, $9,150. Andrew Weissman, $4,000. Greg Andres, Andrew Goldstein, Elizabeth Perlinger, Brandon Van Grack, Rush Atkinson, $200. That's not a big deal. But all the other ones are not insignificant. And you add that, the fact that a lot of them represented the Clinton Foundation, one represented Ben Rhodes. How does a regular American person not look at this Mueller team as just a bunch of Trump adversaries, political adversaries, who want to undo a presidential election?
Well, I think there are a few things. When we say in this country that you can serve in law enforcement, we don't have a political test for those individuals. I come from a family of prosecutors. When you sign up and you say you want to serve your country, there is no test. You don't have to pledge allegiance to a president. You pledge it to this country. And when Robert Mueller has found out about individuals who he was concerned about conflict of bias, he fired them. And that's exactly what we want him to do. So I understand.
Why didn't he reveal it at the time when he got rid of Strzok in July? Why didn't he reveal that to the American public, given the gravity of this investigation?
Right. I mean, I think if we remember, the purpose of this investigation is national security. So I think what he is focusing on is how do we keep this country safe?
So you don't think that
collusion.
You don't think there's any even appearance of a conflict with this group of people involved in an investigation that could lead to the impeachment of a president? No appearance of a conflict, not even an actual conflict, mm-hmm. because if there's an appearance of a conflict, as a lawyer, you're really supposed to reveal what your potential conflict could be. And to me, the revelations are, it's like pulling teeth to try to get this information.
You know, but don't we want him to actually do what he did, which is to fire those individuals?
No, I want to know what they've said politically. I want to know what their emails and texts have said.
If we begin to focus on every individual as opposed to the purpose of this investigation.
You know what the fruit of the poisonous tree is?
Of course I do.
Okay, if you have ill-gotten gains in an investigation, ill-gotten either
Correct.
Because of a bad actor mm-hmm. or a biased actor, everything that comes as a result of that could be called into question. Well, I want to go to Congressman Biggs on this. Congressman, I find the president's legal team, frankly, to be a little bit kind of almost gun-shy to question the Mueller team. The president was very tough on the Justice Department and has been in some tweets, but his legal team had been more circumspect here.
Yeah, and I think they're wrong to be circumspect, because what we have here, this is the very swamp creature that all of America is looking at, because it isn't that Robert Mueller said, oh, this is why we got rid of Strzok. We had to pry that out. That came through FOIA requests. Congress has asked for information. We're not getting it. One thing we found out from Director Sessions and Director Wray, or Attorney General Sessions and Director Wray, is they don't even have a process for vetting and for conflict of interest. So most private sector law firms and even in prosecutorial agencies, if you have a bias, you've got to disclose that bias, because it's an ethical violation to take a conflict of interest case. So people check that out. These biases are not inconsequential. If you're giving $30,000 to Democrats, guess what? You're all in. You're all in. If you are being critical of President Trump and in an overt way showing up at resist movement issues, you're not just saying, hey, I'm a political participant.
What undermines the credibility? I'm going to ask you both.
Yes.
Does this not undermine the credibility of an investigation when you have rank partisans who worked for Ben Rhodes, who worked for the Clinton Foundation, and now someone who actually represented the guy who destroyed the email, the devices, with a hammer? So you're actually working for the political adversary of the guy you're now investigating. Now, if that's not an apparent conflict of interest, then I don't know what is. But I think it undermines the overall integrity of an investigation that, frankly, should be unassailable, given the gravity of it. Michelle, you can close out.
Laura, I think we need to remember that we're talking about someone who served this country in Vietnam. He has had respect on both sides of the aisle for years. And if we are now saying that someone who is as respected as Robert Mueller
is... So
he can
never make a mistake?
Of course you can make a mistake. But the question is, why are we raising these questions now as he continues
because
to get
closer
to
Because we're finding out the information
to
now.
President Trump's inner circle.
Well, did you
I
agree
the,
with
the
Bill
question,
Clinton? When Bill Clinton went after
is,
the... When Bill Clinton went
the
after
question
the...
question is...
You know what
we,
I'm going to ask.
Okay.
If Bill Clinton went after Ken Starr's legal team mm-hmm. for being biased, did you criticize him for doing that?
When we are focused on national security and when we want to get to the root of what role
there's no Russia
played
there's no Russia collusion. They gave that up
election,
long ago.
Then I think
where's
we
the Russia
all
collusion?
Recognize.
All right, so you see what's going on here. This whole deck is stacked with these, ringers. To put it into sports terminology, if you have a intramural football or baseball, basketball, whatever, in college, if you go to the if you go to the basketball team and get a couple of people off the basketball the official basketball team to play on your intramural squad, you're putting ringers on there, and it's just got a terrible look to it. I don't see how this thing survives long term. Now, here's a little bit, and I'm sorry I'm stacking these clips here, but I put these together two nights ago. I'm sorry I didn't have a show today. I was absolutely exhausted last night, but Lawmakers file legislation for the filing of Robert Mueller, and let's just pray to God. I mean, pray hard that this guy goes away, because under the guise of being unbiased, he's so biased it's astounding. And this is Lou Dobbs, and this is a few days ago.
There will be no government shutdown, at least for 2 weeks. Congressman has approved a spending bill that will keep the government open through December 22nd. While lawmakers work on an agreement on military spending, DACA, and other contentious issues, the House approved the bill on a 235 to 193 vote, and it would not have passed without Democratic support. An hour later, the Senate followed suit and passed the continuing resolution on an 81 to 14 vote. Well, joining us now, one of the 18 House Republicans who voted no on the continuing resolution. Joining us tonight, Congressman Matt Gaetz. He serves on a number of key committees, including Judiciary, Budget, and Armed Services. Good to have you with us. It's good news that you all are going to keep the government going. How likely are the prospects you'll be able to move to a budget?
Well, we absolutely need to get to the business of cutting spending, Lou.
I do apologize. I don't know where this crazy music is coming from, but this guy's very good.
And one of the reasons I voted against this continuing resolution is it's just more of the same. More funding of Planned Parenthood, more funding of the Obamacare exchanges, more funding of Medicaid expansion. People elected Donald Trump and this Republican Congress to do things differently. I'm very proud of the budget the House passed that cut over $200 billion in spending by saying that people on welfare need to actually meet a work requirement if they're able-bodied childless adults. Unfortunately, the Senate rejected that budget, and I think the House rolled over too quickly. So I'm going to keep fighting for spending cuts to go along with tax cuts, and I think that...
Let's go to this resolution to get rid of Mueller.
Corrupt Justice Department leadership and that of the FBI and the special counsel who are attacking this president daily relentlessly and with great force.
Well, I would agree with you entirely, Lou. That's one of the reasons why I filed legislation calling for the firing of Robert Mueller. Every single day, we're finding more evidence that Robert Mueller was recruiting people who had an express and known bias against the President of the United States. Today, I asked Christopher Wray, did Robert Mueller only hire people who hate the President? And he couldn't answer that question, but it's one hell of a coincidence that every day we're finding more and more examples of people who express their dislike of the president and then find themselves investigating him. Meanwhile, Hillary Clinton never really faced a serious investigation. She was investigated by her own fan club. Every time we get more evidence there, it seems as though Hillary's folks were the ones making the decisions about her outcomes, and it's still Hillary's folks that are persecuting the president.
Oh, I think you're exactly right. And at this point, I think the American people are awakening to the reality of the claims that have been made about Robert Mueller, about the team that he's assembled, 17 attorneys prosecuting, 9 of them Democratic donors, 5 of those Hillary-specific donors, and not a single Republican on the team anywhere, at least that we could find.
Well, and it's not like there's not enough federal prosecutors in our system. We have a bevy of highly talented people who have demonstrated throughout their careers a tremendous amount of integrity. Those just don't happen to be the people currently investigating the president. I mean, look at Weissman, Mueller's number 2. He was out there praising people who were actively defying the president of the United States and telling him how proud he was of them. This is ludicrous. The American people cannot accept a rigged system where you've got people biased against the president conducting the investigation against him. And the fact that today Christopher Wray wouldn't tell us whether or not the FBI paid for the dossier against the president with taxpayer money. He wouldn't tell us whether or not Hillary Clinton got special treatment. All he said is that there's an inspector general that's looking into all these things. But I mean, what's it going to take? You know, if you walk outside and it's raining, you don't need an inspector general to tell you to get an umbrella. You just got to believe your own lying eyes, and that's not what we're doing nearly enough of here in Washington.
Well, and what course is Congress going to take? I've asked, and let me ask you, why would not the Republican Party unite around a president who's under assault by a corrupt political operation called the Department of Justice, by a corrupt, politically corrupt special counsel? Why would Speaker Ryan, Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, not stand with the president and demand that Mueller resign?
Well, I have. That's why I filed legislation in France.
The reason is these guys, number one, hate Trump. Number two, they're moderates. Number three, they can't see the trees for the forest, and they don't realize that by refusing to support Trump, they're signing their own death warrant. It's always the way the GOP operates. It's not been since Reagan was in office that there was some real good policy that was supported by the party. All right, here is the beginning of the acceptance speech by Doug Jones from Alabama. He won by about half a point. Check it out.
Tell you, I think that I have been waiting all my life, and now I just don't know what the hell to say. If you will indulge me just a moment. Well, no. Well, let's just get sworn in first before we. Folks, I'm overwhelmed, but let me first make a couple of kind of brief comments. You know, I have said throughout this campaign that I thought that December 12th was going to be a historic day. But I got to tell you, and you know where I'm headed, December 12th has always been a historic day for the Jones family. This is, as you know, mine and Louise's 25th wedding anniversary. My running mate.
This is terrible to listen to. I mean, get a clue.
I could not have done this without her.
It's like listening to somebody talk about Elvis.
The love, support, the encouragement. Earlier in the evening when she just kind of kicked me in the rear end when I was down. So this has been a wonderful night. I've got to thank my family. I've got my wonderful sons, Carson, Christopher, my daughter, Courtney.
Let's cut up a little, see if there's any substance here.
Thank you. Thank you. There are three people that I want to acknowledge tonight. Because if it wasn't for them, Yoda of the campaign and the people of Alabama have spoken. They have said to each other that this, I have said from the very beginning, this campaign has never been about me. It's never been about Roy Moore. It has been about every one of you, every one of you and your sons and daughters. It's all of those volunteers that knocked on 300,000 doors.
All right, so he says we usually take the wrong fork. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, you took the right road. And we have shown this country that we can be unified. The entire race has been about dignity and respect. This campaign has been about the rule of law. The campaign has been about common courtesy, decency, and making sure everyone in the state, regardless of which zip code you live in, is going to get a fair shake in life. So that's the substance. He wasted most of the opportunity to deliver a speech just blabbing and pretending that everybody would know it was his anniversary, which I think is pretty sad. But I've got a little bit from Charles Barkley here. the basketball player, who says, Jones' victory, a wake-up call for Dems to get off their ass, stop abusing black vote. So, have this for you in a second, but... All right, by the way, and not to change topics, but I want to make sure that I get this in. There is a Geminid meteor shower that makes an appearance every year, and it is 100 meteors streaking through the sky, through the night sky every hour. So I'm going to tell you about that in a minute. But here is this Charles Barkley to give you a black and a black sports opinion on this, although he's been out of basketball for a long time.
Doug Jones, I first met him at a Wendy's on City Line Avenue outside Philadelphia in 1985. Mr. Barkley, good to see you as always. You said you expressed concern that the people of Alabama, if they didn't go for Doug Jones, might embarrass you, might look like idiots. How do the people of Alabama look tonight?
Well, number one, thank you for having me. This is a great night for Alabama. You know, we've been stuck in a time warp for a long time. This is just a great night for Alabama and for Doug Jones. I just want to thank everybody who worked on Doug's campaign, everybody who came out to vote today. But this is just really a referendum on Alabama. We really needed this.
What is it about Alabama that really needed this? Was it just the embarrassment, potentially, of having Roy Moore as a senator? Or was it the idea of having a more progressive candidate, a more progressive senator representing the state?
Well, first of all, Roy Moore was an embarrassment. Hey, listen, if any other man had eight women accusing him of sexual harassment, talking about how he really enjoyed slavery, he thinks people who are homosexuals should go to jail, they wouldn't have even been in this election. This was more of a referendum on the state of Alabama, and I'm just so proud. I'm just so proud of my state. I love my state. We got some amazing people here. Yeah, we got a bunch of rednecks and a bunch of ignorant people, but we got some amazing people here, and they rose up today.
You know, you were one of many prominent African-Americans from Alabama who don't currently live in Alabama who came and campaigned over the weekend. There was some question over whether that would backfire. Obviously, it did not. The African-American vote really turned out in very strong numbers. You must be feeling pretty good about the effort that you made this weekend.
Well, number one, it wasn't just about me. It was about everybody down here. Let me tell you something. I've been in Alabama for the weekend campaigning with Doug Jones. All Roy Moore commercials was, he's against abortion, he's against gay marriage, and he talks about God. Those are not three good enough reasons to be in the Senate. We got a lot of more important stuff, health care. We got to improve our public school system. We got to improve our roads. I'm just so proud of my state. They rose up today.
All right, you get the feel from that. And, you know, there was a time when Barkley, Charles Barkley, who is from Alabama, said he wanted to run as a Republican, but that was a long time ago, to be governor. All right. Well, another story I wanted to get into you, but from Byron York, Washington Examiner from today, former top spy rethinks maybe we shouldn't have attacked a new president. And this is Michael Morell. And he says, Mr. Trump continues to exhibit paranoia about American intelligence agencies. Wrote the never Trump conservative Max Boot in the New York Times a week or so before the president took office. And political paranoia seizes Trump's White House. Maureen Dowd, consumed by paranoia. Everybody talking about paranoia. Bloomberg's Eli Lake, though, says it's no mystery why Trump doesn't trust U.S. intelligence agencies. As the old saying goes, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you. Trump understandably believes the intelligence agencies are out to get him. But one person, Michael Morell, who was in the agency from 1980 to 2013, 33 years, and he briefed the presidents themselves, said that he was a nonpartisan. He said he worked at this nonpolitical agency, bright red line between intelligence and policy, intelligence and politics. And he said that, "I was so deeply concerned about what a Trump presidency might look like from a national security perspective. And I believe that there was such a gap between Secretary Clinton and Donald Trump with regard to how well they would protect the country that I thought it was extremely important to come out and say that," Morrell stated. And he had a lot of company in that. But then he says, well, and then I changed my mind a little bit, because let's put ourselves in Donald Trump's shoes. So what does he see, right? He sees a former director of CIA and a former director of NSA, Mike Hayden, criticizing him and his policies. And so he would have said to himself, what's going on with the intelligence guys? And then he sees a former acting director and deputy director of CIA criticizing him and endorsing his opponent. And then he gets his first intelligence briefing after becoming their Republican nominee. And within 24 to 48 hours, there are leaks out of that that are critical of him and his then national security advisor, Mike Flynn. And so this stuff starts to build, right? And he must have said to himself, what is it with these intelligence guys? Are they political? And the simple answer to that is yes. So Morrell says there's a significant downside to those of us who became political. So if I could have thought of that, would I have ended up in a different place? I don't know, but it's something I didn't think about. All right, so here is for you the Geminids. Now, the Geminids are going to be the best meteor show that we've had all year. International Meteor Organization predicts the Geminids shower to bring about 120 meteors an hour. What's the best way to watch? Go to some place that's away from the city lights. And if you can put down a blanket and lay down and stare straight up at the sky, if you have a full view, that's a wonderful way to do it. But it's a little bit cold out there, too, so you might want to grab some cocoa. Meteors will likely start in the late evening Wednesday and go throughout the night. You just turn off the porch and house lights, go out, and the waning crescent moon will be in a last quarter phase, and it's not going to rise until 3:45. The sky will be dark. The meteors will be emanating from the Gemini constellation. Smartphone apps such as Sky Guide and Sky Map, Sky Guide for Apple and Sky Map for Android can help identify the planets. So these are from a rocky asteroid called Phaethon. And so there's much to learn about these. And it passes Earth every 1.4 year, and it's going to be closer than it was since 1983. And so anyway, get on to that. All right, so let me see if we have enough time to sum up some stories for you. And you know that Doug Jones won, and that Roy Moore is out. And you heard... Charles Barkley talking about that. And Strange, Luther Strange would have won according to Drudge, and I'm sure that's true. Republican Senate majority hanging by the short hair. Judge refuses to accept the defeat. And study shows 90% of Trump TV coverage is negative. Tom Brady had a terrible game last night, and they're saying it's because of his age. Malls are rotting away. And the malls are rotting away, and guess what? There's going to be a lot of them closing down, and pretty sad, really. Shoppers looking for bargains at suburban I do apologize. And because the anchor tenants, the big stores, are leaving the malls, they're closing down, and then that allows other stores to leave according to their their thing that their leases that they signed. And so I'm looking for the numbers here, but I think there's 30, there's something like 3,000 malls out there, and they think that like maybe 1,000 malls are going to shut down in the next, I don't know, 10 years. Oh, okay. As one big store closes, it can take several smaller stores along with it, like a house of cards. Experts predict that a quarter of American malls will close in 5 years, around 300 out of 1,100. All right. Thanks for tuning in, and take you out here with a little Gloria, Gloria Gaynor. And I will survive because, folks, we will survive this defeat.